Also, don't forget to pray for Brother Bruce and Barbara and Teresa as they travel to Switzerland. As Bruce said, we're going to pray for the pilot, and then we're going to pray for the doctors, okay? May we pray. Lord, I thank you this morning that we have this opportunity that we can gather together and worship in spirit and in truth. That we can come and acknowledge the great love you had for us through Jesus Christ, your Son. And Lord, this morning as we look into your word, we pray that you might bless it to our hearts, that you might encourage us and strengthen us and give us joy in these days because of Jesus. For all that's said and all that's done, may he be lifted up and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This past week, I noticed one of the headlines in the paper was concerning the angel tree over in Tupelo, and many of the names had not yet been claimed. Many children were yet to be claimed by someone to buy them some Christmas gifts. And as I read that, I thought, I wish I had the resources and the way that I could gather every one of those names and buy those children what they needed. And then I thought, that's exactly what God did at Christmas. I guess the most known verse of Scripture in all of the Bible, and Rachel just sang about it a moment ago, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved. When you read that very simple little phrase, I thought about many times through the years I've heard about crazy love. And that's really what this refers to, I think, this morning, is God's crazy love for us. Now, why do I say that? Well, if you look at this particular verse and as you look at it this morning during this Christmas season, and you think about what Jesus is saying here. For God so loved. Think about the mystery of God's love. Paul, writing to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16, as he begins to explain to Timothy a great deal about the ministry and the workings of the church, he closes out that chapter as he gives qualifications for pastors and deacons, and he closes it out with these very simple words, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." It's a great mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. A great mystery is God's love for us. Because this morning you can never really understand how God so loved the world. We can never really understand the greatness and the awesomeness of God's love. I cannot understand it. And to be fair with you this morning, I cannot even explain it. God loves. That means this morning that He's not off in outer space somewhere just letting this world take its course. That he's not walking around the ivory passes of glory this morning, not concerned at all about his creation. But it means this morning that he has an intimate part in the lives of every individual that's born into this world today. God this morning is not unreachable. He's not unconcerned, and he's not distant to us. The psalmist said, no man cared for my soul. And that may be true today. I've read many stories through the years of children who have been neglected and abused, of people today who are seemingly unloved by anyone in this earth. But this morning, may I say to you that there's no one in this world today that can say that they're not loved and that somebody doesn't care for them, because this morning Jesus cares. Amen. Bruce and Barbara sometimes sing the song, Does Jesus Care? Well, I want to tell you this morning, Jesus cares this morning. And Jesus cares very simply because Jesus loves. You really can't really care until you really love. Jesus really loved us. Jesus really cares for us this morning. Many years ago out west, there was a young man who was engaged to be married to a very beautiful young lady. And one day, as they were in town, something startled the horses, and she was in the buckboard. The horses began to stampede and take off, and he saw them, and he went running down the street and jumped in front of the horses and began to try to stop them. And finally, he fell upon the horses, but he continued to hold on until he got them stopped, but he had been trampled so bad that he was laying there bleeding and bloody. And as she climbed off the buckboard and rushed to where he was, he looked up at her, and with his last words, he said, I really loved you. Jesus says, I really love you this morning. That's really the mystery of God's love today, and that's the message of Christmas, is the love of God toward a world today. I think one of my favorite songs that we sing today, and one of my favorite songs of all time, is, Oh, How I Love Jesus. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music to mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Well, here's the clincher to the entire song today. The clincher to the entire Christianity. Because he first loved me. Not that we love God, but that God loved us. That's a great mystery this morning. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. God loves us this morning. He loves us when we're unlovely. He, this morning, came to save us from our sin, our evil, and our wickedness. He came this morning that we might have a shepherd to direct our paths on this journey of life. He came this morning that he might provide a place for us in the future. Oh, what love God has for us this morning. And I can tell you, no matter how many years I might live, I do not believe I could ever tell you why God loves you and why God loves me. I really, as I said in the beginning, don't understand it, and I can't explain it. I just know God does.
Amen.
I just know that God loved me and that God loved you today. And that's a great mystery to me. You know, sometimes I see the most beautiful woman with such an ugly man and I say, how in the world could she love him? But she does. Why does God love us? I don't know, but he does. Great mystery. But then think about the measure of God's love. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Paul writing to the Ephesians in chapter number 3, verses 18 and 19 says these words, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What is the measure of God's love? What is this morning the breadth and the length and the depth and the height? How can we measure God's love this morning? Look around us. Think about God so loved the world. God loved the Apostle Paul. He loved him not just when he was the Apostle Paul, but he loved him when he was Saul of Tarsus, when he was going about commanding and putting the church of Jesus Christ into prison, turning many of them over unto death. Paul said that I'm the chief of sinners because I persecuted the church of God. God this morning loved Saul of Tarsus, even when he was persecuting, even when he was this morning going against everything of value, but he still loved him. That's amazing that he loved Paul. He loved this morning the prodigal son. How could the father love such a prodigal? I mean, he took all that he had and wasted it in riotous living and wound up in the hog pen of sin. And yet when the father saw him coming, he ran out to meet him and greeted him and put shoes on his feet and a robe on his back and a ring on his finger and brought him back into his home. That's a measure of God's love. Listen to me this morning. I could never love as God loves. I could never this morning love as much as God loves. No way. But God loves. He loved the proud Pharisee Nicodemus, who came unto him by night because he was afraid of the Sanhedrin council and that he might be tossed out of his prestigious position. Yet when he came to Jesus, Jesus became his Savior. As you read through the scripture this morning. And he loved him. He loved a man by the name of Mel Trotter, who was a very wicked man, an alcoholic, a man that got into drink so bad that he had a wife and had a child that got sick. His wife scrunched up enough money to buy the little child some medicine. And she couldn't leave his side, and she told Mel, said, I've got this money. Please go get the medicine and don't buy whiskey with it. Buy medicine for the baby. Mel Trotter took the money and wasted it on whiskey. When he returned back home in a couple of days, the little baby had died. And they had him laid out in a casket. Mel Trotter was so low down that he stole the shoes off of his baby in the casket and sold it to buy more whiskey. But one night, God met Mel Trotter in a rescue mission. And Mel Trotter became a child of God and a great man of God down through the years, because God loved Mel Trotter even when he was stealing the shoes out of the casket of his own baby. He loved Billy Sunday, a drunken baseball player sitting on a curb in Chicago, Illinois, when a little girl invited him to a Pacific Garden mission, and he went. And God gloriously saved him, and he became a great evangelist across our country. Me. God loved me. That has to be stupendous. I would imagine that of all the people that graduated in my class, the last one anybody thought would ever be a pastor and a preacher would have been me. But one day, God's love reached down to me. You see, God's love this morning is measured by who he loves and for how long. God's love this morning is patient. He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish. God's love today is measured by whom he loves. For God so loved the world. William Cowper, the great hymn writer, wrote the song, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that fountain, lose all their guilty stains." But boy, that second stanza says it all. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. Oh, that dying thief on the cross with Jesus was rejoicing to see the fountain filled with blood, was rejoicing to see the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, was rejoicing to see the Redeemer and the Savior of his soul. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. But then Mel Trotter wrote, "And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away." There's a TV series on now called Evil. And it chronicles the story of some of the most evil, heinous crimes and criminals that's ever lived. But you know, God loves them. "There may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away." We're vile in the eyes of God, but he loved us. That's how you measure God's love today. And he's long-suffering to us. When Jesus was born, the angels came to the shepherds. And as they were on that Judean hillside, the Bible says, "And the angels said unto them, Fear not." Well, I'm glad the Lord can calm our fears. "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Well, I'm glad a while ago we sang that song, "Joy to the World." Well, this is joy to the world here, folks. Joy to the world. "For I bring you great tidings, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." All people. Everybody. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Well, we need Jesus. We need a Savior. And God has provided him today. And we can rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your heads and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. Well, I'm glad this morning Jesus loved us, aren't you? I'm glad this morning that he didn't just love the good looking. I'm glad that he didn't just love the ugly. That he didn't just love the rich or the poor. That he didn't just love a certain age group. That he didn't just love a certain ethnic origin. But I'm glad this morning that Jesus loved the world. And that one day that love came to me. But then there's the mandate of love. Whosoever believeth in him. Whosoever believeth in him. I read something this week and I want to share it with you. It's called Explain God. It was written by an 8-year-old boy in Chula Vista, California. He went to a Christian school, and one of his homework assignments in the third grade was explain God. And he said, one of God's main jobs is making people. He makes them to replace the ones that die so there will be enough people to take care of things on earth. He doesn't make grown-ups, just babies. I think because they're smaller and easier to make. That way he doesn't have to take up his valuable time teaching them to talk and walk. He just leaves that to mothers and fathers. God's second most important job is listening to prayers. An awful lot of this goes on since some people like preachers and things pray at times despite bedtime. God doesn't have time to listen to the radio or TV because of this. God sees everything and he hears everything and is everywhere, which keeps him pretty busy. So you shouldn't go wasting his time by going over your mother and dad's head asking for something they said you couldn't have. Atheists are people who doesn't believe in God. I don't think there are any in Chula Vista. At least there aren't any. Get there. Who come to our church? Jesus is God's son. He used to do all the hard work, like walking on water and performing miracles, and people finally got tired of him preaching to them and they crucified him. But he was good and kind, like his father, and he told his father that they didn't know what they were doing to forgive them, and God said, okay. His dad, God, appreciated everything that he had done and all of his hard work on earth. So he told him he didn't have to go out on the road anymore. He could stay in heaven. So he did, and now he helps out God by listening to prayers and seeing things which were important for God to take care of. He can take care of himself without having to bother God. You can pray anytime you want, and they're sure to help you because they got it worked out, so none of them is off duty. You should always go to church on Sunday because it makes God happy. And if there's anybody you want to make happy, it's God. Don't skip church to do something you think will be more fun, like going to the beach. That is wrong. And besides, the sun doesn't come out at the beach until noon anyway. If you don't believe in God, besides being an atheist, you will be very lonely because your parents can't go everywhere with you like school and camp, but God can. It's good to know he's around when you're scared in the dark or when you can't swim and you get thrown into deep water by big kids. But you shouldn't always think of what God can do to you for you. I figure God put me here and he can take me back anytime he pleases. And that's why I believe in God. That's pretty good for an 8-year-old boy. And you see, that's what God is saying here. It doesn't matter if you're 8 years old. It doesn't matter if you're 80 years old. God loves you. Jesus died for you. And whosoever will believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This morning, we, during this Christmas season, need to realize the great love God had for us and how much that he loved us and how much that he invites us to come unto himself. For he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And he saves us. I'm glad this morning he saves us. Amen. He redeems our life. Yeah. Makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. He saves us this morning. Amen. As I told you in the beginning, when you read that verse, it kindly makes me think of crazy love. Because how could God love me? How could he send his son to die for me? That's a great love, folks. That's a wonderful love. Right. But God loves us today. I beg you this Christmas season to remember, to reflect, and to think about the great love that God has for all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. All right, you'll stand together with me, Brother Rufus and Barbara. Come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we're together. We ask you to take this very simple message, use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.